Welcome to Sunday morning teaching from Canaan Land Church in Grove City with Pastor Sean. We're so glad you've joined us today. Now, let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Proverbs 27, verse 9, if you're there, say amen. Listen to what the wisest man, they say, in the Scripture ever lived says. It says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. I like this. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by his hearty counsel. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, you know, God, what you've placed on my heart, God. Well, we thank you, God, for our church, Lord, as Brother Paul said. God, the love, Lord, just from even Sunday, God, those that visited said the kindness that they sense, Lord. God, we know that's not us, God, we know that's you. God, I pray, Lord, that we continue to be led and guided, Lord, by your love and kindness, that God, what you show us in that love and kindness, we in turn show others. God, I pray, Lord, that tonight we can understand, God, what a true friend is, God, according to your word, a biblical friend. Lord, be with us, God, tonight. Let us search our heart. God, let us glean from your truth here in your word in the book of Proverbs. Lord, that when we leave here, God, as the book of Proverbs is supposed to do, Lord, we pray, God, we're the much more wiser. And be with us, Lord, we pray. All the prayer requests that have been given, God, we thank you, Lord, for Sister Julie, God, that they sent home today. Lord, she's doing so much better, and we thank you for the prayers of your people. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. The value of a friend. Proverbs are proverbs, and what I mean by that is this. These are wise sayings that describe the normal pattern that are relevant or prevail in this world we live in. So you got to understand, when you get to the book of Proverbs, these aren't promises. These are what they're called, proverbs. And we know this is a letter given from a loving father to his son. That father was Solomon, to his son. And it's no different than the Holy Spirit inspiring him for God the Heavenly Father to use the Holy Spirit to talk to the child of God. So when you look in this one verse that we read, we're going to go through a bunch in the book of Proverbs, because I think we got to understand, how many would agree tonight that you choose your friends, you better choose wisely. Amen? And what had been laid on my heart this week was this topic, this verse from the book of Proverbs chapter 27. And to understand this book of Proverbs, it's a book that points to Jesus Christ. So to follow Jesus is to follow wisdom. And to listen to Jesus is to listen to wisdom. And to grow in Jesus is to grow in wisdom. And Proverbs, this book, lays out what this life looks like for a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now understanding this, the value of a friend in preaching this, here's what I would describe a friend as. This is the definition that I have. One who will take on half of your sorrow, but in turn bring twice the joy. That's all right, isn't it? That when you're going through a sorrowful time, they'll take that on because they love you, but in doing so will end up helping you and in turn bring twice the joy. And we'll get into that. But what my goal tonight, what God had laid on my heart was this evening. Number one, I want to look biblically on how to have good friends, biblically. But also after that, how you and I can be a true friend, biblically. So how to have biblical friends. First of all, the Proverbs, the book, tells us in different chapters and verses that to have biblical friends, you must go seeking friends, what I described as, intentionally. When you look at Proverbs 18, verse 1, it says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. So here's what that means. Have you ever heard people that say they are Christians, that are Christians, that say this, I would rather be alone than try to make friendships? I'm better off alone. You ever heard anybody say that? I heard it a few weeks ago. Not that I wasn't already studying this, but when I heard that, this is what they're saying. I'm more concerned about me than anybody else. That's what they're saying. Now can you and I be alone? Yes. Is it good from time to time that you and I are alone? Absolutely. But should I desire all the time to be by myself? No. If that's what you would rather do than to seek intentionally to make biblical friends, here's what's happened. That is a direct correlation to God. Listen, the Bible's clear. It said man was not meant to what? Be alone. We're better when we're around people. I seen a t-shirt the other day. Literally, this is what it said. The more I am around people, the more I like my dog. You can say amen to that. I understand what they're saying. But understand, I wanted to walk up this individual, but I didn't want to. I'm just going to be quiet. And my thought was this: well, maybe it's because how you act around people probably isn't how the same way you treat your dog. You ever notice you treat your dog sometimes better than you treat people? Art is shaking his head amen right now. You know what I'm talking about? It's true, isn't it? A lot of people think more highly of their animals than they do human beings. And that's backwards. We're not seek to intentionally build relationship with animals. That's easy. You give them a treat, they love you, right? They don't ever say nothing bad about you. They can't talk. It's easier. But we have to biblically seek relationships intentionally with other people. That's what Proverbs 18 is talking about. See, God wired us to be not only in relationships, but in fellowship with each other. That's why church is so important. That's why coming together corporately and worshiping the Lord is so important. That's what God said when he created Adam. So this stresses in Proverbs 18, it stresses the importance of friends. So we could literally say from that verse and from the correlation of verses in Proverbs, this statement, friends, listen, they're a gift from God. Amen? How many appreciate your friend, your biblical, your godly friends tonight who God has placed in your life to be a help to you and you be a help to them? That's how God created all of us to do what we do. So yes, we are to be seeking friendships. Now, here's the question. How do we go about this biblically? How do we seek intentionally these people when we take an active interest in the lives of other people? If you'll notice when Paul describes Timothy in the New Testament, Philippians 2 verse 19, listen to what Paul says about Timothy. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of a good comfort when I know your state, or when I know where you're at and what's going on in your life. Listen to what he says here, church. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your estate. So there's nobody, Paul is saying, that I know that is like Timothy, for he takes a general interest in the affairs of others. That means Timothy cares so much about people that God has placed in his life that he intentionally gets involved in their life and wants to know what's going on in their life so he can be a help to them, church. That's wonderful. I love that verse. Paul, he's commending Timothy for this. And when you look at this, I thought of Proverbs 18, 24. A man that hath friends, what? Must show himself, what, church? Friendly. You're not going to make friends by having a face that looks like you want to bite the head off something. Right? You got to show yourself friendly. And listen, here's what he says. How many can say amen here? There's a friend, thank God. Hallelujah, that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Boy, that's good. So if I seek intentionally to take interest in others, then the question is this, it goes deeper. Well, Sean, how many friends should I have? Listen, here's friendship. You ready? In 2024. Many today have a wide range of companions, or what we or I would call acquaintances, but not really real friends. That's 2024. Here's what I noticed, and I studied this today. When you look at social media, number one is Facebook. Number two is YouTube. But between social media, there is over 5 billion people on social media. And what you found with social media is this. It's harder for people in this day and age to find what I call a deep friendship. The average person on Facebook has 190 friends, that's it. But most of them, they don't even know. They're acquaintances. They intentionally are tagging you to be friends, but here's what social media has done. Many today have found that intentionally when they take interest in someone else, it's via a phone or the internet, and what they're doing is they're focusing on not the depth of a relationship, but rather a number. That'll preach. Hey, here's what I'm saying. People come to church. They came Sunday. They may have come tonight here, and people even come to church, and they're in a big crowd, but they still feel lonely. So when you're looking for numbers rather than depth, you've fallen into the world's pattern. Why do we want depth more than numbers? I'll tell you why. Because quality is better than quantity. Let me say that again. Quality. What do you mean quality? Who your friends are and what they know about you and you know about them. There it is. Are more important than quantity, how many followers and likes you get. I learned this at a young age, that the character of my friends is way more important than the number of friends I have. So the question for the child of God is not how many friends do I have, the question for the redeemed is how deep are my friendships? That's the meaning of these groups that we're starting in April. Here's the point of all of this that we're going to do. As we begin to know the Word in a more meaningful way, we're going to get to know each other in a more meaningful way. Now, here's something to remember. There are different levels of friendships even when you seek intentional friends. This is seen in the life of Christ. Notice with me. Jesus, he ministers to crowds. That's a large number. Then Luke 10 talks about a group of 70 that he sends out. Then there's a group of 12. Then there's a group of 3 that's called his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And these are the ones, the inner core, the 3 there. They're the ones experiencing the circles in Jesus' life, like when he heals Jairus' son and raises him from the dead. They're at the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. They're the ones invited to go a little further with him when he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're the ones that have the closest access to Jesus. They're the ones. As we think about it, that model, the life of Christ, and the way he had his friends, the levels of them. Here's what we know. We, if Jesus had these different levels of friendships in his lives, we have them in our lives. So in your life, you ready? Who are the 70? In your life, who are the 12? In your life, who are the inner circle of 3? I'm talking about not just many acquaintances, real friends. Now, what does it look like to have that inner circle you have? How would you behave or relate to the 2 or 3 closest of your friends to you? Well, in order for us to understand this a little more clearly, We got to see in God's word how Christ describes this for us. Notice in John 15, 15, listen to what Jesus says. Jesus speaking, he says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you, what? Friends. Now here's why he calls them friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Did you catch it? Do you see it there? That is the basis on what Jesus calls a friend. So you notice the definition of a friend to Jesus is one who Christ himself opens up to, here it is, fully and completely. Who do you open up to fully and completely? It ain't always the pastor, I can tell you that. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? In other words, people who are really close to you, that get the deepest access to who you really are, and vice versa, by the way, so open that your life must fully be to those you can trust most deeply. I'm going to use myself as an example. In my life, do you know there are certain conversations I won't have with many people? Two reasons why. You ready? Number one, because some acquaintances just can't be trusted. Number two, and because some people in your life cannot handle the conversation. I learned that. If you'll notice, Jesus opened himself up to different people in different degrees. Notice this with me. When speaking to crowds, Jesus spoke in parables. When speaking to Herod, guess what? Jesus stayed quiet. He didn't even talk to him at all. When speaking to his disciples, he makes known that all he has heard from God the Father for one reason. They were his friends. Okay? So speak to those most fully in whom you trust most deeply. Seek those people intentionally. How do we find biblical friends? Second thing, choose your friends wisely. You hear me, young people? I don't know about these three over here. Choose your friends wisely. Proverbs 13, 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I love what Mark Twain said. If you argue with a fool long enough, people that are watching after a while won't know who the fool is. Simply put, you are what you hang around. And you walk like people you walk with. So the Bible says if you walk with wise people, guess what you'll be? You'll be wise. You walk with fools, it will only bring you harm. In other words, those you walk with, those who you are close to, and you open your life to deeply and fully, they will have an influence on you massively. They'll rub off on you. You'll rub off on them. And the deeper the friendship, the more alike you will be. So you can either be around people that bring good potential or bad potential. Remember, this is a proverb. This is a normal pattern of life. And 1 Corinthians, I love what it says here, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners, meaning this, bad company will ruin good character. People even here tonight may agree with this, but they never think this proverb is speaking about them. Isn't that interesting? Amen, preacher. Wait, me? Again, this can be a great benefit if you have good, godly friends. Again, an inner circle. So here's what Proverbs 13:20 is saying. Get close to people as a Christian you most want to be like. That's good, isn't it? Those who you wish not to be like, again, inner circle. Those who are not walking the worthy walk, as Scripture refers it to, again, the inner circle, yes, be kind to them, but practice a restraint in letting them in the inner circle. Notice in this verse here that we read in Proverbs 13, that there are some people, I know this is crazy, but it's true. Do you know that some people are just a living, ticking time bomb? That's their character. They lack self-control. You may work with someone like this. You may be that person. If you work with them, yes. Be kind to them, yes. Let them in your inner circle, absolutely not. This is how I can best describe it. Friendships, good ones, they're like fruit. They take time to grow and to ripen. So don't be like the plant that gave Jonah shade. It was good one day, and then what? It was dead the next. That's not a good friendship. Again, good friends, to have them, you can isolate yourself. Don't do that. Seek them. Look for good, godly character. Choose wisely. And thirdly, how to find good, godly friends, you guard the friendships that you have. Proverbs has a great deal to say about this. And some of the things that Proverbs says is kind of comical in a way of how to guard your friendship. Now listen, to my friends, those that I love, that I call good, godly friends, I want to be considerate of them, don't you? Remember, vice versa, I want to be considerate to you, Paul. I want Paul to be considerate to me. Proverbs 25, 17, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house. I love this. Lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. What does that say? Don't wear out your welcome. My wife will tell you at our house, if we have people over, I love to visit. I love people to come over. But when I'm done, guess what I do, Paul? I go to my bed. Stay up as long as you want. Stay here as long as you want. I'm going to sleep. Amen. The easiest way, listen, be considerate, to destroy a friendship is to be too demanding. Notice this now. That word friend, that word neighbor, they're interchangeable in Proverbs. Don't wear out your welcome. Don't stay too long. And here's the biggest one. Don't only call somebody when you want to ask them for something. And keep asking and asking. And don't return anything. Now with God, that's why it's different. That's why he can be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Here's the beauty of the friendship that you can have in Jesus Christ. Do you realize that God never gets tired of you coming to him and talking to him? Man, that's great. That's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You can never come to God too often. There's nothing you can say to him that he's not aware of or can't handle. He welcomes us, but with people in this world, we got to be considerate of their time. But also, here it is, we got to be considerate of their mood as well. Proverbs 25:20. Listen to this. Probably one of my favorite proverbs. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon niter, so is he that singeth songs to an heavy heart. This is what this means. Don't be insensitive to the feelings of others, because if you are, it's like pouring vinegar on an open wound. Know what I'm talking about? Here's what I'm saying. If someone is heavy-hearted, if someone is grieving, if someone is discouraged or depressed, and instead of meeting them where they are, that's the key, the mood, where they are, not where you want them to be, not where you think they ought to be. I'm preaching right now. Not where you think they should be. And instead of going to them and trying to change their mood, go to where they are and listen to them and be with them in that moment. Some believe they need to take charge and take over, and they're on a mission to cheer somebody up when that's just not the time or place. When you do that, that's like pouring vinegar on an open wound. And the Bible says that's not good. You know the feelings that your friend is facing, and you respond appropriately. Probably the best thing that I studied today, and I wrote it down. Here's what I said. Combine your optimism with a big dose of empathy. Optimistic, right? But empathetic. Don't aggravate their sorrow. That's what it's saying. If you do that, it makes the sorrowing worse. And no true friend, hear me, wants to make what someone's going through worse. It adds to their grief, the Bible says. And here's what they begin to believe. Their friend is not really concerned with the sorrow they're going through. Not only that, but be discreet. I'm not going to stay long here. I think it's plain. Proverbs 16, 28, Proverbs 17, 9, both talk about honoring a friendship by remaining silent when someone speaks from their heart. Meaning this, be a good listener. And when you're a good listener, don't go share that with somebody else. I'm going to leave that alone right there. Be discreet. Honor that friendship. So how do we have biblical friends? Seek them intentionally. Choose them wisely. Guard that friendship carefully. But notice something here very important. How can you be a good biblical friend? Not just finding a good biblical friend, but how can you be a good friend? We kind of touched on it there by being kind and being discreet in different things. Well, what we want to receive from others, we got to first be willing to give. So if the friendship is one-sided, do you know that's not a friendship at all? Do you hear me? Having a friendship that's only one way is not a friendship at all. When I used to work cattle, there was a guy that Roy Hipp was his name. And if you shook hands with him, guess what that meant? That meant one thing. He just took advantage of you. But he called himself your friend. That's not a friend. That's a guy trying to get one over on you. So if the friendship is one-sided, that's not a friendship. That is a person that only exists when they want something or need something from you. The saying goes, friendship is an empty word if it only works one way.
Thanks for joining us this morning. We hope you have been challenged, inspired, and found hope in today's message from Pastor Sean. If you have questions about our church, we hope you will reach out to us at canaanland.church. If you join us at the church for our weekly service, please make sure to say hello to Pastor Sean, and we look forward to seeing you soon.